You're listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. It is our desire that you will be helped by this Bible message.
We have been going through the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 1, we find the promise of the Holy Spirit that was coming, Acts chapter 1. But then you see also in Acts chapter 1 that they were waiting in that upper room, waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts chapter 2, we see the power of Pentecost and the preaching. And we see at the end of Acts chapter 2, we see that 3,000 people got saved and got baptized because a fisherman who was backslidden got right with God. And Peter stood up and preached, and God gave him a second chance, and God used Peter. Aren't you glad that God uses us in spite of us? I'm glad that God is a God of the second chance. But here we are in Acts chapter 3, and we see that the message at Pentecost has just been concluded, the end of chapter 2. And it says in Acts 3, verse number 1, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms." He was asking for help. He was asking for money. He was asking for something that they could do to give him. In verse 4, "Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." Father, I pray you'd speak to us tonight. Give us what we need from your word. I thank you for the privilege that we have to come and to assemble. I thank you for the privilege that we have to open the word of God. I thank you for your people and their faithfulness to be in your house on this day. And I thank you for the good services we had this morning. But Lord, I believe you have something for us tonight. May we never come back on Sunday night just expecting to go through the motions, but I pray we would come expecting a blessing, and I pray we'd come expecting to hear from you. Father, I pray that you'd help it to be so. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to preach this evening for a few minutes from Acts chapter 3 on this subject. I wish somebody would help that guy. Now think about what we just read. They've just come off of Pentecost. There's been 3,000 people saved, and Peter and John, they're still going to the temple. They're still on their way at the hour of prayer. They're on their way to the temple. Peter has just preached, and 3,000 people got saved. But while he is going to the temple, laying out there at the gate is a man who is lame. A man who is helpless, a man who seemingly would be rejected by many. And yet Peter takes the time to help this man. Now, I think it's interesting how he helped him. He didn't give him a handout. He didn't give him money. He gave him something better than that. But can you imagine how many people walked by that gate every day? And there it was, there at the temple. The Bible says they put him there every day. People carried him, and they left him there and said, "Well, maybe you'll get something today." Can I tell you, that man got something more than money. He got something more than a handout. He got something better than temporary physical relief or temporary monetary relief. He got something better. He got healed by the power of God. But you know, I wish somebody would help that guy. How many times have we been so busy going about our lives and going about our way that sometimes we fail to help people that God puts in our pathway. We get focused on good things. I'm sure Peter was still thinking about Pentecost. I'm sure he was still thinking about the 3,000 that just got saved. He's going to the temple. He's going there for the hour of prayer. How many would agree prayer is a good thing, right? There's nothing wrong with being focused on prayer. But here was a man that needed some help. And can I tell you, there are people all around us that need help. And I don't know who's going to help them, but I would hope and pray that God would use some of us. And I'm not talking here. I'm not talking about handouts. I'm not talking about money and those things. If you choose to do that, that's up to you. But I want to say we've got something better than money. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And guess what? He got healed. I want you to see quickly in this passage, I want you to see number one, I want you to see the routine. We saw this in Acts chapter 2 that the disciples, they had a routine. They went to the temple, the Bible says, every day. Now, I want to explain this and what the temple is. The temple was a place where they would go to worship God. It was a place where they would go to offer sacrifices. Here in the book of Acts, we see the transition is made from the temple. That was the Old Testament law. That was the sacrifices. That was the place where they would go, and there wasn't preaching like we would talk about or we would think about preaching. That's where they would go, and many times they'd gather in groups, and they'd talk. They'd talk about the Bible, and they'd talk about the Messiah, and they'd talk about the prophets. Remember when Jesus was 12 years old? Remember he went to the temple, and what did they find him doing? He was sitting in the midst of them. He was both hearing them and asking them questions. So the disciples are still going to the temple, but here's why. They were going to talk about Jesus. They were going to witness to those Jews that were still blinded by the law and blinded by the sacrifices and who hadn't seen that the Lamb of God had come. And so they're still going. But by the way, it was a place where they still got to talk about Jesus. It was a place where they still went to pray. It was a place where they looked at the Old Testament and they said, hey, this is amazing. Because the whole Old Testament points to Jesus. And here they are now going back to the temple and they are teaching and they are preaching and they are witnessing. I want you to know in the book of Acts, we start to see the transition from the temple to the church. The Bible says that the church began to grow, and the church suffered persecution, and the church began to scatter. Well, what's the church? The church is not the building. The church is the people. The word church is the word ecclesia. It's a called out assembly of believers. And so we see the transition. I want you to notice what happened. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse number 1. When Peter gets done preaching here at the gate of the temple, Acts 4 verse 1, it says, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. They didn't like it. The priests didn't like it. The Sadducees, they didn't like it. The religious people didn't like it because they were coming to the temple. And they weren't talking about Moses. They were talking about Jesus. And when they did talk about Moses, they said, let me tell you what Moses said. Moses said, there is another prophet, capital P. There is another coming who is going to be the prophet of all prophets. There is somebody that's coming who is better than Moses. There's somebody coming who is better than the prophets. There's somebody coming who is better than all the heroes of the faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. There is a Messiah that's coming. They begin to preach. They didn't like it in the temple. We get to chapter 5, and notice verse number 18. The Bible says they laid hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Verse 19, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning. Verse 24, now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Verse 25, then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Acts 5 and verse number 42, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now these disciples, this is what they had known. They went to the temple. They went, they worshiped God. They offered the sacrifices. They did those things. But now Jesus has come. And now they're going back to the temple and they're saying, time out, everybody, you're missing it. Because the man that just came from God, his name is Jesus. He's the Son of God. And let me tell you, everything you've ever learned has all been in preparation so that you would know who Jesus is. This was their routine. They went to the temple. I think it's a good thing to go to church. I think it's a good thing to gather with God's people. I think it's a good thing that we come to talk about Jesus. We come to worship him. We come to sing. We come to praise. We come to pray. We come to do all of these things. They went up together. I like that. Aren't you thankful for people that you've been going to church with for a long time? Isn't it great? And then every once in a while, somebody will frustrate you because they move to a different section of the auditorium and you can't find them for a while. But aren't you glad we can come to church together? It ought to be a habit. I say routine, but I hope it's more than a routine. I hope it's a relationship. I hope it's a relationship that you have with the Lord. I hope it's a relationship that you have that you say, I don't want to miss what God has for me in the church. But I see not only the routine, number one, but secondly, I see the request. In verse number two, this lame man, the Bible says he was lame. The Bible says he was left. They brought him to the temple. He couldn't walk. They brought him, they carried him, and they laid him down and said, see you later, buddy. We'll come get you at the end of the day. Not only was this man lame, not only was he left, but he was longing. When Peter and John came by, he's begging, please, would you give me something? I need help. I need something. I need more than I've got. I need something that I cannot do for myself. I want to tell you this evening, there's a world outside these doors that needs something. And they need more than money. And they need more than education. And they need more than help in this life. But they need eternal life. They need the gospel. They need someone that'll get a burden. They need somebody that'll care. They need somebody that'll take it on as your mission to say, I'm going to do all I can to witness to that person. I'm going to do all I can to get that person in church. That person's backslidden. They're away from God. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to be a friend to them. I'm going to do whatever I can. There was a request that was made. But thirdly, I see the reply. Peter and John instructed this man, and they said, look on us. Now, they didn't want the man to see them for who they were, but they wanted the man to listen to what they were going to say. Because they made it very clear to this man that they could not help him. Now, Peter, at this point, could have been feeling pretty good about himself. He had just preached Pentecost. Hey, I just preached a message to 3,000 people, got saved. Buddy, let me tell you, I can help you out. That wasn't Peter's attitude. His attitude was, I can't help you, but I know somebody who can. And friend, I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long you've been serving God. I don't care how long you've been in the Sunday school class or how long you've been in the choir, how long you've been in the pulpit. None of us have the answers, but all we can do is point people to the one who has the answers. His name is Jesus. He has the answer. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, verse 6, but such as I have, give I thee. Now think about that statement. I believe it was an honest statement. I truly believe that Peter did not have any silver or gold. I really think he was broke. You say, man, what a failure. Oh, no, he was laying up treasure in heaven. Remember, he'd already left his fishing boats, and he'd already left his occupation. He'd already left it all and said, I'm going to follow Jesus. And now Jesus has been crucified, and Jesus has been buried, and Jesus has been risen, and Jesus has ascended. And Peter says, I still don't have anything physically. He said, but what I do have, I'm going to give you. Have you ever thought about that? You can't give something to somebody else that you don't have. How are you going to help somebody else spiritually if you're not spiritual? How are you going to be a blessing to somebody else if you've not received a blessing from God? You see, all we are is we are conduits, right? All the blessings come from God, and when God uses us as a conduit, we are supposed to allow that blessing to flow through us, not allow that blessing to be stopped up in us. But if you don't have something from God, you don't have something to give to somebody else. And people need something from the Lord. And people need you to walk with God. Your coworkers need you to walk with God. Your spouse needs you to walk with God. Your children need you to walk with God. Your neighbors, they need you to walk with God, because there's coming a day when your phone's going to ring and they're going to say, I need you to pray for me. I got somebody in the hospital. I've got a wayward child. I've got a broken heart. I've got a situation. And if you don't have something, you can't give something you don't have. It's a convicting thought to think that Peter and John had something that they could give to this man. You know what they had? They had the power of God. They had the touch of God. Christianity was not a joke to them. Christianity was not just a fad. Christianity was not just something that they played the part. Christianity was real in their hearts and lives. And may God give us some Christians in 2024 that Christianity is not just going to church and putting on the mask. And it's not just going to church and carrying the Bible, and then we live like the devil the rest of the week. But may God help us to be real. May God help us to be genuine. May God help us to have some old-fashioned, old-time power of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives so that we can help somebody else. The world doesn't need another fake. The world doesn't need another phony. The world doesn't need another person who is acting the part. This world needs somebody who knows God and somebody who can get a hold of God. And that's exactly what Peter and John had. They had something. It's interesting to me. This man was looking for alms. Thankfully, I've got a couple dollars in my pocket. I don't usually carry cash, but usually Sunday nights, my kids hit me up for the bookstore because they're so smart. They love buying books in the bookstore. And they love reading so much and, you know, just getting all the latest resources in the bookstore. But I got $2 on me. But can you imagine that man? He was begging. He was requesting. He was pleading, would you just please give me something? He was probably expecting a dollar. He was probably expecting some change. He was probably expecting something small. And he thought, if I could get that, I'd be happy. But you know what he got? He got a whole lot better than he ever asked for. He got a whole lot more than he ever imagined. And friend, you know who that lame man is? That's you. And that's me before Jesus saved us. And when Jesus came, and maybe your life was a wreck, whether you knew it or not, it was a wreck before Jesus came. Maybe your life was in shambles. Maybe you were just trying to breathe. Maybe you were just trying to get your head above water. Maybe you were just trying to get your feet established again. And Jesus gave you a whole lot better when he saved you. And Jesus gave you a whole lot more than you asked for when you got saved, because he made you a child of the King. He made you joint heirs with Christ. He gave you a new name. He gave you a new life. And he gave you a new eternity. Aren't you glad for what happened when you requested and Jesus gave you more than you asked for? I see the reply. But then notice in verse number 7, I like this, and He was healed, and he said, I want you to rise up and walk. But I like this verse 7. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. That's where some of us would have said, hey, buddy, you've been healed. What's your problem? Get up and walk. What's taking you so long? You know, when people get healed, when people get healed spiritually, when people get healed emotionally, when people get healed physically, when the healing touch of God comes to some people, you know what they need? They need a hand. I need somebody to help them. And this week, let's look for somebody that you can help them up. Let's look for somebody that may be down, and you say, well, what's their problem? I don't know what their problem is, but I'm thankful that God was good to me. I'm thankful that I'm the one standing up. I'm thankful that I'm the one that's in a position that I can help somebody. I'm thankful for how good God has been to my life, and I don't want to kick people while they're down. I want to lift them up. I want to help them up. Let's help some people up. Let's lift some hands. Let's help some people this week. But then I see in verse number 8, I see the rejoicing. It says, and he, that's the lame man, leaping up, stood. Now, wait a minute. He wasn't doing that until Peter gave him a hand. I think he could have done it all along, but I think he just needed a little encouragement. I think he just needed somebody to help him up. And the Bible says that he leaped up and he stood on his feet, verse 8, and he walked. And he entered with them into the temple. He said, where are you guys going? They said, we're going to the temple. He said, well, I'm coming with you. Whether you want me to or not, I'm coming with you. The Bible says in verse number 8 that he entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, I'm just going to take a stab in the dark here. I'm just going to guess that that's not the way most people entered the temple in this day. I'm guessing most people just walked. I'm guessing most people just act civilized. And most people acted normal. But this guy goes jumping and leaping and praising God as he goes into the temple. Don't you know, there were some people saying, what's his problem? What's wrong with him? Why is he so happy today? I like the story I heard a preacher tell years ago. And he was preaching at a camp meeting, and there were some guys up in the front row that had just gotten saved recently. And they were standing up, and they were shouting, and they were rejoicing. They were saying amen. They were getting with it. And the preacher could tell that some people were getting a little nervous. They were getting uncomfortable. And the preacher got up, and he said, now, folks, he's like, don't worry about those guys. Whatever you do, do not even worry about those guys in the front row. You know what their problem is? They just got saved. They just had their sins forgiven. They were on their way to hell. And God gave them a home in heaven. Now, don't worry about them. Don't get too excited. Don't get too nervous. Don't worry about those guys there. They just got born again. And friend, I want to tell you, I wish there'd be some more rejoicing in our lives when we think about what Jesus did for us. Can I tell you, it's okay to come to church. It's okay to smile. It's okay to sing. It's okay to shout. It's okay to praise God. It's okay to be happy because of what Jesus did in your life. As a matter of fact, I think that's better than the alternative. I think that's better than walking in acting like your best friend just died. Or maybe worse, your dog just died. And you come to church and everything's terrible. Hey, by the way, there may be some things that happened before you came to church, but maybe when you come to church, maybe something could just get a hold of you. And maybe you could just rejoice and just get your focus on how good God has been. And remember the day that you got saved. This man was rejoicing. Maybe he just didn't know any better. Maybe he didn't know the rules of the church that you're not supposed to be excited. And by the way, that's not a rule. This man was rejoicing. Praise God for rejoicing. Number 5, quickly, I see the reaction. It's found in verse number 9. It says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. I'm sure they did, because I think he was the only one acting that way in the temple that day. And they all saw it. And the Bible says that when they saw it, verse number 10, that they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They knew who it was. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed, I like this next word, verse 11, he held Peter and John. He's like, guys, I'm not letting go of you guys. You guys are my best friends. You guys have no idea what you just did for me, and I don't know what else is going on around here, but I'm sticking with you guys. But he held Peter and John, the Bible says, and all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Now, when we get into chapter 4, the first few verses of chapter 4, we see that this crowd that gathers, Peter begins to preach to them. Because of what they saw, because of the lame man being healed. And the Bible says, because of this message in Acts chapter 3, 5,000 people get saved. Notice it's in Acts 4 and verse number 4. 5,000 people. I don't know how many were in the crowd, but I know there were at least 5,000. And these people are all gathering around in amazement. They're just wondering. They're trying to figure out what is going on. Can I tell you, the greatest advertisement for being a Christian is when people see a changed life. The greatest advertisement for a child of God is when you get saved and something happens and you are not the same person you used to be. Because when people see a difference, they want to know. They want what you've got when there has been a transformation in your life. I see the reaction. The people gathered around. They knew this was the man. They were amazed. In verse number 12, Peter, when he saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" The reaction was this. The people wanted to know more. They wanted to figure out what was going on. They wanted to figure out what happened to this man. And here's what Peter says. His reply, verse number 6, his reason. He said, "Folks, I want you to know, I didn't do this. And John didn't do this. It wasn't our power. It wasn't our holiness. It wasn't our ability." But he said, "I want to tell you, God did this." And friend, I want to tell you tonight that when you see somebody whose life has been changed, the church didn't do it. The pastor didn't do it. The Christian school, and I thank God for our Christian school, the Christian school didn't do it. The master clubs, they didn't do it. The bus ministry, they didn't do it. The junior church didn't do it. When a life is changed, there's only one person that can take the credit, and that is Almighty God. Amen. God did it. And you know, I think here at Victory Baptist Church, I don't just think, I know that we are living in some miracle days. We're seeing God do some amazing things. And you know what I say? To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. But I don't ever want us to, as a church, to get to the point where we feel like, you know what? I'm sure glad that God's got us. Boy, he'd really have a hard time without us, wouldn't he? No, I think the thing that amazes me is that God would use us and that God would allow us to be a part of his work. But all the glory belongs to him. Verse number 13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. We see, and I'll finish this chapter, I'll finish this next Sunday, but we see that Peter gives all the glory to God. But then he says to these people that have gathered, he said, God did it, and God sent his Son, but you rejected him, but you killed him. And all the glory goes to God for everything good in our lives. But I want to tell you this, we need somebody that'll tell us the truth about what needs to be fixed in our lives. Yes, let's give God the glory, but let's preach the truth to people. Let's remind people that they're sinners. Let's tell people, hey, oh, you and I, we're all sinners. But aren't you glad there's a remedy? Aren't you glad that there is salvation? Aren't you glad that whosoever will may come? I'm so thankful that we find in Acts chapter 3 the story of this lame man. Somebody helped him. I wonder who you could help this week. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know who I could help. And you know, you probably don't, because God's going to put that person in your path this week. Maybe somebody that needs a gospel tract. Maybe somebody that needs to hear how to be saved. Maybe somebody that just needs some encouragement. Maybe somebody needs some prayer. Maybe this week you can find somebody and say, hey, let me pray with you. And if that's what they need, hell, they'll be happy to get it. I don't know who God's going to put in your path, but let's not miss people that God has for us. Hey, we've had a great day on Sunday, but let's not let what's happened on Sunday stay in the walls of this building. Let's take it out to a world that needs Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. For more information about our ministry, please visit our website at vbcrr.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.